Blog Talk Radio.
The blackness. Keep on.
And welcome to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte. Tonight, I have a very special guest and a very special call for this Blog Talk Radio, which is reaching across the country. The law is the law. My guest is Mayor Roger Akapower. My guest, Roger Akapower, is an American mayor of Markham, Illinois, a small suburb of Chicago. He had served as fire chief in neighboring Country Club Hills, Illinois, assumed office as mayor in September 25th, 2018. My co-host joining me this evening is student minister Lionel Muhammad from the Nation of Islam. The law is the law was the rallying cry today in Markham at a rally of Markham from residents opposing Mayor Roger Akapower being re-elected and sworn in after he received 81% of the votes on April 6, 21. As a re-elected mayor, the people of Markham spoke, and they spoke by their votes. So let me welcome the mayor and also my co-host, Minister Lionel Muhammad. Welcome to the In the Know with Mo.
Hey, good evening.
I'm delighted to be here.
I'm delighted to be here, Maureen. You know, it's always an honor because we do what we do. It's an honor to have the mayor with us this evening to share his words with our listening audience. So thank you for being here, Mayor, with us. And we just want to hear from you and from our listening audience. So you got the flow.
Well, I'm just honored and privileged anytime I'm able to share what the journey has been to be in government, and certainly the walk that I've had in over 40 years of government service in general before being an elected official. I'm always glad to be able to take the time to talk and share about those things. And certainly at this juncture, I even have probably more to talk about as of late because the mayoral matter has been something that's been a turbulent matter since its inception, but there's good reason for the journey, I'm sure.
So, Mayor, today was very inspirational. I was in attendance along with so many other elected officials, people who were not elected officials, clergy, the veterans, just the concerned citizens, you know, and even though the rallying cry from the protesters or whoever they may be, the law is the law. But the law is the law. It's not written in stone. And what I do with Minister Lionel Muhammad, we advocate for ex-felons. And so many people don't even have a clue what I do, period. They don't even know I'm an elected official because that's not a title I run around advertising. But having been convicted in 1999 of a felony of mail fraud in a federal health insurance case, the question had come about when you first ran did you realize that you had that case against you? Did you realize that with that status of that title of ex-felon hanging on to you, that you really had the right to run?
Yeah, you know, I absolutely knew, and I never, I always disclosed it to the public all along. I think really after so many years, I had really felt that I had a constitutional right to run.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was time to challenge the law. I thought it was a good time to do that and try to find different places that myself and others that were disenfranchised by the system to speak up about it. You know, I was able to work as a fire chief in a couple of communities. I was the first black fire chief for the city of Markham in the 80s. And then later I was afforded the opportunity to be a fire chief in another community in Country Club Hills. And, you know, I was the second black chief there. But I had served and, you know, I had made the mistake as many did. And I, unlike some, I wasn't upset. I was glad that I got caught. Some people, they get caught. But in my case, I was glad. I think it did something for me in my servanthood, in my big moment in life to do something stupid. But I redeemed myself as I should. And I have thought that. How long does the sentence go on? How long, is community service and restitution and probation? That's all I received. I never served any time. But how long was I supposed to stay on probation? How much community service was I supposed to do? And I felt that constitutionally that to constantly be resentenced and be part of a caste system, upper, lower, middle, and then there's felons, just wasn't the way to things should be. And so I stood up about that, and we were able to do some things later, as you know, but I'll get into that. But I knew about what I had in terms of a record because I had an albatross around my neck, as many young black and brown people have had. And I was fortunate enough to have been a fireman that did not. It's not like they weren't trying to change the law on the fire service to come after me there, because they were. Once I had that, now all of a sudden the law was going to try and say that felons weren't able to enter to the fire service. So the law is it should not be in stone, especially in the times we are in and where black lives do matter. And and the law hasn't been speaking to that as it quite should. Mm-hmm. And we have those that protest the way that they do because they're disenfranchised. You know, when people don't have hope, they're going to try and have an outlet somewhere. And I only think it's unfortunate that we should not do that to one another. I think that the black community should want to try to have understanding and embrace that and not have its own self-interest or personal interest and try to take someone else down or have something superior to them. We have that in other races, but we shouldn't have it in ourselves. So I definitely knew at that time that constitutionally we had to make a challenge, and we did.
And you made that challenge, and the challenge now is coming back. Because civil rights such as voting and holding public office are denied to convicted felons in many U.S. states, experts state now that you are ineligible to serve in the highest office in Markham. So what's the next step? Because you're due to be sworn in May 6th. Will that happen?
Well, I would like to believe that we could, we're going to obviously have to take some serious steps. I don't believe that the Supreme Court moves that quick. Remember, this was an appellate court decision that probably in some places would have been kind of unheard of for it to happen. And why? It's because we had two lower courts and even electoral board, and we had the state's attorney who did not chime in at the time of vacating the order for me when the governor signed for my rights of citizenship. And this is something that's common throughout the United States. when I went to file four years ago for a federal pardon, there's a section, it's section 10 of the instructions of the and the information of applying for a pardon. And section 10 speaks about the effects of a pardon. And what that section tells you to do is go back to your local state government. Go back to them and apply for your rights to be restored to you for citizenship to be able to vote or to hold public office. It's very clear that it comes back from the federal government to tell you to do that. It comes from the U.S. Pardon Attorney in the Department of Justice. And, you know, the federal offense for anyone, if you become a federal felon, as I have become, is just the consequence of what, you know, that's what I'm suffering, the civil disability in my state. And the state has the power and the right to restore citizenship. The governor does not have the right to pardon anyone. It's certainly not for a federal offense, but the governor in the states gives clemency and they commute sentences. Mm-hmm. And they also restore rights back to citizenship, the right to vote and the right to hold public office. And it's done all over the country. And even, like I said, the federal government tells you to go back to your state for your rights. And that's what I did. I got a certificate of citizenship from the governor of the state of Illinois, and that got challenged because when it happened for me, it had been done in Illinois in 50 years. We don't have a formal process. The best place to look is the Iowa state governor does restoration rights all the time for federal offenses, and they sign and get their rights back. It's order, executive order 7 for the state of Iowa. They have a more formal process. Illinois doesn't have that, and because we were just beginning to try to put those things together, and then to understand a misunderstanding, justices got it wrong. And we had one dissenting justice in the appellate court that agreed with the opinion that the matter of not being able to hold office in the state of Illinois was, or, you know, having a felony in that matter, a federal felony, is a collateral consequence. That's what they call it. And so here we are. We have to take some other steps now to go to the Supreme Court and obviously now at this point go to the president and ask him to move the pardon application that's been sitting there pending for the last 4 years.
And so that pardon is sitting on the desk of the president that's set on Trump's desk and now it's on Biden's desk. Have you rescinded a letter of request for that to the new president? I'm pretty sure you have.
Well, you know, I felt that I had my rights restored, so I didn't really push the issue because I felt that as long as I can take care of Markham with what I had, What is a pardon going to do for me? I'm not leaving Markham. A pardon is going to make it convenient to where I don't have to go from state to state asking for my rights. That's all that does for me because I can go to the next state and I can run for office if I ask for my rights. Mind you, I would have had to been a reasonable citizen to be able to apply. And so that's that's what we were able to do.
That's right.
Okay. So it seems like now that you're in this situation, and Bruce Rauner was the first governor to restore your citizenship. Are we waiting for Pritzker or people want to know what's going on? I mean, because don't know.
Well, I would say that. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part of your question.
We want to know what role would this governor, this present governor, Pritzker, what role, I know he was recently in Markham with some elected officials. So we just want to know, people want to know, what role will he play in helping to restore and putting you back on the bench?
Well, I would say this to you. Mo, I would say that right now the governor He doesn't have the power or the authority, you know, to do anything. This governor has been, he's a toothless lion at this point, because the appellate court, the judicial branch of government, has decided that the executive branch basically should be signing documents with a crayon, because they don't have the authority to do that. And, and that's why there's separation of powers. You know, you have a legislative, obviously judicial, and then you have the executive branch of government. And they have no right to overstep into that and mess with the Constitution in that regard. And that's what this equates to. So the governor will have to probably get with the attorney general if he wants to have his pen mean something in Illinois.
So come May 6th, if you are not sworn in as a reelected mayor, who takes over that seat? What happens there?
Well, it's similar to what happened. It's almost like you could say deja vu or Groundhog Day. God forbid, I would say that, you know, we've talked about it, me and a couple of different council members. I've talked with them individually about what may have to transpire is that they have to take the helm of government while I'm in court again, meaning that I'm going to the Supreme Court, as well as, you know, I'm making efforts to get to the president to try to make sure that Markham has stable government. You know, I had 80% of the vote, and people spoke about that. You know, it wasn't like anybody went to the polls sleep, and they were informed. This is nothing new for us. Markham gave me a second term as well as they gave me the original second chance. And so that's where we're at in Markham. And I think that, you know, Markham should be commended for what it did and having the courage and the audacity to hope and to believe that somebody like me could be the mayor. And I've proven that to them in service, and I've certainly proven it to them in the last 2 years, to turn around and bring jobs to the community, bring development to the community, and to make it cleaner, and to continue to try to make it as safe as possible for its residents. And that's what government, good government, should be about. You know, I've been criticized by opponents for cutting a tree or making sure they get something to eat, but people want service. Their tax dollars, that's what they want. And so I've had the usual fights that you have in government, certainly when there's change in government. And I'm accustomed to it. I've been around in government for over 40 years, and I certainly have broad shoulders. So I'm good with it.
We have a question here from, it must be a resident from Markham, wants to know, what's the situation with your son working for Markham?
Well,
what capacity?
Well, let me make this clear. We have an ordinance that I put in place before I venture to the question about some foolishness that you get with some of these questions, and I have to say that because that's kind of how it sounds. But the reason why I preference, when I came in office, I passed an ordinance that there would be no nepotism, and that took all the power out of my hands as a mayor in any office that I have available. I cannot hire any family members or any friends or relatives. So we have a city ordinance that speaks against that. I have no right to go and hire, hire a family member. But in this case, any of the civil service tested positions, any of the fire police commission tested positions, anybody has a right to do that, and I have no authority, and that's the capacity in which my son tested for and got his position, which I had nothing to do with. And congratulations to him for being a good guy to pass a test. I guess he went to school enough to pass it and got it. So kudos for him.
Okay, that's like with me here in East Hazel Crest. I'm the president of the library district since 1996. But my mayor has no control over of the $500,000 that I have in the account, even though a couple of my constituents think that I can give them some money for some resources, and I brought it to the mayor's attention. These are two different entities, so we had to quickly correct that young lady there.
Right.
Don't be an elected official. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. But the biggest issue, you know, listening to the people today, it's not so much, you know, even though I stood with you today for a press conference, my biggest concern is not so much, it's for the rights for all the ex-felons and people who are being, that are serving and being, you know, these titles being put on them, because everyone deserves a second chance. That's one thing Minister Lionel and I, we strive very hard to do, is try to give people an understanding. I mean, there were people standing out there screaming and hollering that I had expunged their records, you know. But, again, I talked to one young man. I said, you have freedom of speech. You do as you please. I said, you see me in a capacity here, but the capacity I serve with you for what you needed has nothing to do with why I'm here, you know. But that's why I know that some of those people out there were being paid to be a voice with no understanding of what's going on.
Right.
Minister, I know you have something.
No, I'm just really listening, because the thing that, really troubles me is the fact that our mayor has went through a process of being simply adjudicated from one aspect, and now you're trying to bring up something that happened. If you've served the time, if you've done the probation, if you did the community service, that should be completely exonerated, and you should be moved to the status of citizenship, because now you're a returning citizen. You're back to your citizenship. So why should you have to go through this legality or process once you have completed that process? I don't understand that at all.
I agree with you, Minister. I really, one would think that once the sentence is over, or however you completed your sentence, you would think that that person would automatically be restored. You know, why would you you know, it's just like, well, I'm going to let you out of jail, but you're still going to be in jail when you walk around. So I want you to constantly think that way. You know, well, that's just unfortunate that, you know, we just make no sense about these things. You know, I just think that the criminal justice system is just a height of hypocrisy in some areas. And, you know, I think that probably the only thing that's very disheartening to me is the black-on-black crime. And what I mean is not some of the black-on-black crime in our neighborhoods, because that's been going on. But when you get to this level as well, it's not any better. You know, I mean, what's the difference that somebody – taking a shot at me the way it is in government. It's not the case wasn't filed by white folks. It was filed by black folks to undo the law that keeps me in office, but affects other young black and brown, certainly who need it more than anybody, throughout the state of Illinois to get their rights restored to them. So they're not just hurting me because they want something. They're hurting other black folks.
Yes. And that's my main concern. You know, like the pastor said, those, and I'm paraphrasing, those that are here who throw the first stone, however he had quoted, I mean, who's without sin throw the first stone? You know, and how many of you have somebody, I even have someone in my family that has committed a crime and that's locked up right now. And, you know, I'm the product, the niece of a civil rights icon, Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, but my cousin, who's a Shuttlesworth, is locked up now on a gun charge in Ohio. You know, so, I mean, you try to do the best you can, but things happen.
But you know what else is really sad is the fact that you have those people in positions of authority who misuse their authority when somebody black is trying to get in a position of authority and power to serve the needs of the people. Then you have those that are using their authority to not only vindicate the person, but to destroy the person. And then it's like the same goes those who throw the stones at the glass house and hide their hands. Like the mayor said, all of these people, these were black people, you know. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody, but it's just sad that some of these weak Negroes get in position of authority and then they want to kill the brother or the sister that's trying to get ahead for their benefit.
Yeah,
and that's
yes.
So true, Minister. Very, very true. I told somebody in a conversation not too long ago, because I keep it real, you know, I know some of who they are. Some of them wearing dashikis and all this kind of stuff and carrying around kunte cloth, and they want to run me out of office. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. They don't realize what's truly at stake. And, again, it's all self-interest or self-motivated. I didn't just start this. I'm not new at this. Most of them don't have a clue how long I've been there and what I've been doing for city government before they was thought about. I've been over at City Hall before some of them were born, you know, and I did what I could. And I never always, you know, I have to say, you know, went along with the status quo. And I didn't drink the Kool-Aid of both of my mayors before me. They were black mayors. I was the first black fire chief over there, and I argued vehemently with both of those mayors that were there.
Well, Mayor, we are coming to the end of our time, and we should have really done an hour, but you know what? This works out fine. So I've got a comment here from a young lady from Chicago. She said, I'm listening in, and I want to thank the mayor, and I'm going to keep her lifted in prayer because I'm glad to hear his side of the story. Akapawa, Mayor Akapawa, his story is depicted as a tale of redemption, restorative justice, and second chances. He accepted responsibility for a crime 20 years earlier, completed his sentence, has become a model citizen. Let's keep him lifted. And again, this is Maureen Fortet. May I want to thank you, and I'm going to be tuning in on the first Sunday in May, as you do, Reverend Mitchell Johnson Show. And, of course, Minister Lionel Muhammad, my brother, I want to thank you always.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you, sister. We do what we do, Maureen. At the end of the day, we do what we do.
Yes. Thank you again. You have been listening to In the Know with Mo, Maureen Fortet, with my special guest, Mayor of Markham, Mayor Roger Akapawa, and my co-host, Student Minister Lionel Muhammad from the Nation of Islam. Until then, stay focused, be blessed. You know, the law is the law, but the law is not written in stone.